that I hope they can grab with their heart and it will change their direction for the rest of their lives. Amen? But you know, the real energy behind this is Kelsey and Clyde Burquist. Where are they at? I know they're here somewhere. I need Kelsey and Clyde to come up here really quick, if you would, please. Come on up. They have a vision they want to share with you, and I really want you guys to hear this. You can invite the young people up too right now. Is that on? Might help if I push the button for you. There you go.
Good morning. I need to take a deep breath. Well, first of all, we just really feel a lot of support from you guys, and we want to say thank you. Huge thank you. The second part of it is I'm going to ask the youth kids, they're all on the back of the wall, y'all come forward now, okay? And you have a special seat reserved just for you because you guys are special, and you guys have a spot in this body. So come on, just find a seat. And any elementary kids I have too, you guys can come up as well. So Sterling and Eden, where are you guys? Come on up. If you're feeling young today, I'd invite you too, but you all can just stay where you're at. Come on up, guys, and if there's not room, you can kind of sit on the floor. And I have some coloring stuff there for the elementary kids if they're like getting bored, okay? But come on in. We're just going to try and do this family style. Thanks, Dave. So we had shared a couple months ago, and I think I want to reflect on that just a little bit. When we were asked to do the youth, we were like deer in the headlights. Deer in the headlights because we didn't feel qualified. And yeah, we have kids, and we've got teenagers, and we're doing the stuff. Clyde, she's in the pre-K room. Sorry, we're playing goose chase. We still didn't feel like we could lead youth. Like, okay. But I'm telling you, the minute you step out and you say yes to God, He meets you where you're at. He gives you all the tools you need. And I just want to say, Vineyard, you guys have been so amazing to feel that support from, especially Pastor Doug and all the leadership. So thank you, you guys. We just really couldn't do it without you. God's, you know, given me an organizational thing that I love to do, so I love to organize and do all this stuff. But there's glitches in organization, and so you're learning as you go. But we have a youth retreat. Come on in, hon. We have a youth retreat that we are planning, and I was super excited. And I had asked the Lord, like, there's nothing open. Where are we going to take these kids? They've been shut down, and they're not going to school. They need somewhere to go. And the Lord had, you know, given us some new friendships in 2017, and they have this amazing piece of property. And it was like the Lord just dropped it in my mind again. Go call them. See what they're doing. So I did. And they're like, come on out. Oh my goodness. So excited. We have a place to take these kids. So Matt, do you have the... Okay, so this is just a little trailer for the youth retreat, okay? So let's watch.
We're excited to announce the spring retreat for our youth group. God has opened up the door for our kids to have a retreat at an amazing location right here in Zodiac, Oregon. It is our heart to take the kids away from their everyday surroundings and give them some fun, friends, good food, and devotion time with God. We are super excited for this opportunity to bond and have fun together. We need your help to pull this off. We have about 35 kids, and some families just can't afford to send their kids, and our heart is that every kid can go who wants to. We would like to see our church body provide full and partial scholarships for at least 10 to 15 kids. We are busy planning the theme, the content, games, and food, and we look forward to hanging out with these kids kids have been cooped up way too long. It's time to usher in the springtime with new life, new experiences, and we're asking you to partner with us to make this happen. Thank you for all your prayers and support, and we look forward to the growth of these kids after the retreat and beyond.
Okay, so there we have it. Thanks to the Morans for putting that together for me last minute. That was super cool. Yeah, that was me flying off on the snow thing. Yeah. One thing I want to do is start out before we even talk about the retreat is I want all the youth leaders to come up here. Or at least stand up where you are. Okay, all youth leaders. And I just want you guys to look at who's involved, okay? And just give them, Bruce is standing up too. He's over there. he comes and hangs out with us on the special events. But I just want to say thank you to you guys. And these guys are the ones that help support us. So let's give them a big hand. Some aren't here, so they can't stand, but we have Karen Perry and her daughter Andrea Drost, huge players in this as well. And then I also do the children's ministry, so any teachers or volunteer helpers that are here, please stand up. Where are you? Shay, yep. We've got some that are crossovers, Margie in the back. I have Kaylee working really hard. She's with the pre-K right now, and she's fabulous. So we have just seen her grow, and I'm so excited. But again, those are the young ones coming up into the youth eventually, so we're just really excited about what's going on. As far as the youth retreat, this place is just really close. It's in Azalea, and it's gorgeous location. We've got room for lots of kids, so we don't have to have, like, get your spot. It's like, come on, let's just do this. And we're hoping for good numbers. And so we need the body. We need the body to help provide some scholarships for the kids that need partial scholarships and or full scholarships. So if anybody has a heart to invest in our youth, this is a perfect opportunity to do that. The facility is wonderful. We're going to need food to feed them and some fun stuff for games and stuff like that. So if you guys could just dig deep and generously, you will not regret it. Because when you invest in something like this, it's like investing in the kingdom. You get a return that you will never know what the impact is. So I just want to encourage you guys, and I just want to say thank you.
All right. Yeah, it's been an awesome privilege to... One, work together with my wife again. You know, we had served down in Brazil for over 10 years, and it was just incredible ministering together with her, and now stateside doing this together. She's probably a little more involved than I am. She's really good at sending out emails and texts and all those things that I unfortunately am not. But it's great to work together with her and just getting to know these kids, coming out on Tuesday nights and sharing my heart and then hearing their heart, hearing feedback. And it's so important, I think, to have that bonding time, especially during this season that we're in. Hopefully we'll be getting out of it as far as COVID is what I'm talking about. But we have seen the effects of so many kids just being shut up in their house and then sports and are we going to do it or not do it? And it breaks my heart to see so many kids, teenage kids, that have actually taken their lives because of this shift. It's so important for kids to get out. And so yesterday, my son, Nate, where are you? Anyway, my son, Nate, and I were having some father-son time. Digging a big mucky, muddy trench and digging out the ditch along the road, right? It's good bonding time there. And what I mean by that is all the mud stuck on our boots. That kind of bonding. No, we're digging rock out and gravel and stuff. And Nate makes a comment. He said, "Dad, there's some black sand in here. You think there's gold?" Right? And it brings me back to about 3 years ago when Pastor Doug had said, "Hey, we need to get these kids out and do a little gold panning." Right? So about 3 years ago, we did that and found some gold and just had an awesome time. But the gold, I think, in it was the fact that we got to hang out together. We got to cook, you know, brats over a fire and just hanging out, having that bonding time. And that's what led me back to the real gold is that, is the bonding time. And we need more of that. So that's what I'm excited about here in a few weeks, that I get to go bond and go deeper with some of these kids. You can't help but do that, you know, 4 nights and 5 days together. So it's going to happen, and I'm excited. And that the Lord would really move through the leaders, through the kids, that we would be better listeners. And just that time spent together, I'm really looking forward to it. And again, if you could, just pray about giving to help support some of these kids. It is $175, but for 5 days, these kids can eat a lot of food. And anyways, and there's not just food. There's other stuff that goes with it, but it can be a lot right now, especially if you've got parents that haven't been able to bring in the money that they had before. We want as many kids as possible to come, so be praying about that. So, thank you.
Yeah, don't go too far. You know, I have seen this community raised over $45,000 to send young, tender hearts to Brazil. I have seen this community raise over $100,000 to build a medical boat that is still floating on one of the Amazon rivers. You guys are some of the most generous people that I know. And I really believe that it's time for us to be so intentional about investing in our youth. You know, it has been said many times over the years in many places by many people that the youth are the future of the church. You are the future of the church. But being the future of the church is only one small part of a bigger picture. You know, if we say this enough, it simply just becomes a cliche if we don't do anything about it, that gets tossed into a pile of meaningless church cliches. But I believe with all of my heart that you young people are the future of the church. And our job is to shepherd you well and to point you in the right direction. There's lots of reasons, guys, why we should be investing in these young and tender hearts. But creating a safe place where they can cultivate a life of faith, I believe, is chief among them. You know, Peter said something very, very interesting in the book of Acts. If you can, turn there really quick. And you might want to just mark this, because this is one of those scriptures you go, huh. Peter had just, Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Peter had just given this big, long talk and speech and sharing his heart after they had accused them. After Pentecost, everybody started going wonky in a good way. They were speaking in other languages. And the community's looking at this going, what is going on? And Peter just begins to impart to them this powerful word from God. And it says, with many other words, he warned them. And he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He pleaded with them. He warned them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I believe what Peter is saying is that the culture that you're living in is doing damage to you and you're not aware of it. Do you guys hear that? Doesn't that sound familiar? The culture that we are living in today is doing damage to us. And if we're not in tune with what Jesus is doing, it is doing us great harm. And Peter's saying, I want to save you from that. I want to introduce you to the one who can keep your heart and can save you in this moment. You know, the youth of our nation, I believe, are being ripped off. I believe that they're being lied to. You guys are being lied to. I believe that you are being ripped off. I believe that your future has a great potential to be stolen if we don't stand tall in this moment and pour our hearts and our lives into these young and tender hearts. You know, I've spent close to 30 years, my wife and I, in Christian education. And I remember a time when the needle was over here in terms of we were teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now it's about indoctrination. Not here at our school, but across the board, especially in universities, there is an indoctrination that's been going on for a long time. That's why we're in the trouble we're in today. You know, Billy Graham years ago said that the next great battlefield would be the hearts and the minds of our youth. And you know what? He was right. You know, I believe that the enemy has a contract out on this generation. And I think we as the church need to stand tall and protect them in this moment. Our resolve should be that this generation must behold the power of Jesus. This generation must behold the power of salvation. This generation. Now, most of you that know me, I love to walk in a balance of spirit and truth. Ironically, I ride a unicycle, believe it or not. I still have three of them in my... Three. I wasn't too good at math. Hanging in my garage to this day. My grandson rides one, my son likes to ride, and it's just fun. So I get balance. But I love to walk in balance. And there's a word that, and it's kind of argued who really spoke this word or quoted this word, but it says, all word and no spirit, we dry up. All spirit and no word, we blow up. Both spirit and word, we grow up. So I'm going to tell you right now, what the enemy plans for evil in this moment, God plans for good. We have to put our hope in that, right? I'm going to tell you right now, Satan is saying to this generation, he's saying, I will deceive them. I will make them addicts. I will pervert their identity. I will make them poor. I will enslave them to hopeless circumstances. I will drive them to depression, to insanity, and beyond. And the list goes on and on and on. That is his agenda. But God says, in the last days, we've read this scripture a kajillion times, but take it to heart. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And then this is it. This is what I think God is speaking to our young people in this moment, and we need to get behind it. And that is, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit on them and they will prophesy. I believe that God is giving this young generation the ability to hear his voice if they will listen above all of the other voices that are out there. And to prophesy means that you're going to foretell and forthtell of the mighty things of God. You are the ones. Remember Samuel, Eli's little protege, the prophet Eli? He had a little protege. His name was Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, 10 through 11. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Have you guys ever heard what you thought was God speaking to you? If you do, just stop and listen. He says, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, this is really important. Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That's a powerful word when you really think about this. Something that God has revealed to me many times over the years. I don't know, and I've never figured it out, but I know that God loves children and he loves young and tender hearts. And it seems to me that God seems to speak to them. If we will listen as adults, he's speaking to them first of the good things that he's bringing. I was sitting with my grandson at the table last night, Jonah, and he started talking about God and some things on his heart. And I just went, oh my goodness, he's hearing the Lord. Out of the babe's mouth comes incredible wisdom. If we as adults will listen, but we need each other. However, at this moment in history, God is saying some of the most explosive things he has ever said to youth, to young and tender hearts. And I believe that God is giving you guys a job that he's never offered ever, ever, ever before. I hope you can hear this. The day of Pentecost was not only the arrival of the Holy Spirit, but it began the miracle of sons and daughters prophesying the mighty purposes of God for such a time as this. So I believe the assignment that God is giving you, this generation, this young, tender generation, is to make the church tingle and vibrate at the coming events that are coming, that Jesus is bringing, and you guys are going to speak it forth. Can you guys hear that? Now, that doesn't mean that us that are older are out of the picture. No way. Think of Caleb. He was 80-some years old, and he got to go into the promised land because when he stood there, when they went into the land of Canaan, and they begin to look at all the giants. Caleb and Joshua came back and said, God said. So a whole generation dies off except Caleb. He's still hanging in there with Joshua. He's still running with the big dogs. And when it comes to crossing over, Caleb's like, let me at him. I'll take the high land. Let me at him. I'm going for it. I can only picture that. He's the oldest guy there. And he's like, let me at him. But he had no walker, nothing. But he was running forward to take what God, he knew, had given to them. That is your assignment. It said Caleb was of a different spirit. You hear that? Many of you are of that different spirit. There is anointing on you to help come alongside this younger generation and pour your heart into them and help them learn where to put their next footstep. Help them learn how to hear from God. That's why it's so important. We need people helping raise these children up in the way they should go beyond just the parents. We need help in all other aspects of the church as we grow. Man, the doors are opening. This COVID stuff, push it aside, man. Let's kick the doors open. We added a couple more chairs in here this morning. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm not going to be held hostage by that. Yes, we're being cautious as we can, but at the same time, man, I'm so over that. Amen. Amen. Mario Murillo just had over 1,100 or 1,200 pastors show up to a conference. They thought there'd just be a couple hundred. They had to get a bigger and bigger venue to accommodate all this. They kept having to push the walls back. Mario was overwhelmed in his heart. He was truly humbled. He said, they didn't come to hear me. They came because they wanted to get back into fellowship. They came because they knew that the presence of... He said there was pastors weeping and weeping and weeping. And he was told that you know, they won't come back for a second service. After lunch, they all came back. And he prayed and he prophesied and prophetic words and all kinds of cool things were spoken over him. Guys, as believers, this is our moment. Don't let the world tell you it's over. There's no hope. This is our moment to stand tall. You know, here's what I believe we must do. Now, I'm very, very short, and I'll wrap this up, because I want to pray over and for these young hearts. But here's what we, as a tribe, as a community, as a group of believers, need to do right now in this moment. And it's really told by Joshua, just before they're conquering the promised land. Joshua 3:5, he says this to all of the people there. He says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify means to set yourself apart. He's saying, set yourself apart. Get out of that environment. Get out of that culture. Change your way of thinking. Whatever that looks like for you. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I believe that moment's coming. I believe it's walking in power and authority that's going to change the world around us. And it's not just, you know, hear me, I don't want weird to be the marker. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being an expression of Jesus here on earth. We become such a sign that people wonder, what is it you have? You're so steady in this storm. What is it that you have? And then we get to tell them. Yeah. So the first thing, three things really quick. Sanctify your youth for tomorrow. Guys, this is our charge over them. We need to sanctify our youth for tomorrow. And this is what we're doing. We're trying to create a place and a space. They go away for this retreat, and Kelsey and Clyde have been pouring their lives and hearts into these young and tender hearts, along with the rest of the team. Let's get behind this moment. Let's invest in their future. Let's make this happen for them. Let's help them see through the lies and shake off the peer pressure that can dull their prophetic nature. Amen? Amen. You know, Daniel 1, 8 through 10 is this incredible story of the Israelites had been captured, and they were led off into captivity. And then King Nebuchadnezzar told these eunuchs, he said, hey, I want you to gather from amongst the tribe of the Israelites, of the royal families, I want you to grab some of the most good-looking, strong, buff people, and I want you to set them aside to be trained in the Babylonian culture. I want you to immerse them in our culture. Help them to understand, to speak our language, to walk and talk like we as Babylonians do. For 3 years they did this. And after 3 years of training, they came out of this training. And even, actually, they came out of the training, and what they were doing is they were moved into the king's service. Okay? And what's interesting to note is that during this training, there was a time when they could only eat the king's food. The king's wine. That's all they could do. And Daniel had a hard time with that. It says that Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. Daniel looked at him and said, tell you what, can we do a test? So for 10 days, Daniel asked the chief of the eunuchs, hey, for 10 days, can we just eat vegetables and water? Guess what happened? At the end of 10 days, Daniel looked much healthier. He was better nourished. He looked stronger than all of his peers. And it says in the word that God gave them knowledge and understanding of the times. God wants to give you understanding of the times. Understanding of the times. So you'll be able to look at this world around you and not freak out. You'll be able to see that God's got something here. And I believe that what happened here is David said no to compromise. He said no compromise. I'm saying no to compromise. You're going to be challenged with this. Are you going to say no to compromise? Then what happened here is pretty cool. Then he proved that a young person who set apart, that a young person who is sanctified as unto the Lord looks better than any other of the young persons of his generation. You want to look better? You want to walk and talk and just give a better presentation? Man, set yourself apart for Jesus. Not that he makes you better than them, but he will give you gifts that will help you find favor in the king's court. You know, we see that what happened is we also find, and we read, if you read the dream here, the real miracle wasn't that he was, you know, he became healthier and stronger. The real miracle, I believe, was he was supernaturally able to change the course of history by prophetically telling the king what he had dreamed, and then he interpreted the king's dream because God had given Daniel that ability. God wants to give you guys abilities that are just supernatural, outside of the realm of the natural. Abilities to be able to give advice and say and share different things that are going to help get people go, whoa, that really did work. God wants to use you. The second thing, the Lord will work. Man, don't throw your tomorrow away. God works. He works in mysterious ways, but hang in there. He continues to work. Just like Daniel, say no. And get yourself ready for a future of being in the king's service. I'm talking about God. Be ready. We have a responsibility, guys, to help these young and tender hearts be prepared for that moment. You know, I wrote this, and I'm thinking of a little bit older than some of the young ladies here, but let's say 30 down. I believe some of you have, you know, you're in this mindset that I need a life, I need to find a husband, man, start the dance with God. And God will bring the right person, the right man into your life. And you'll continue that life with Jesus and with the man that God brings to you. Young men, it's the same way. God has a special, unique person just for you. But it's at His time. Right now, stay totally focused on God and His plans for you. Young men, don't fear not about the future. God's got it all worked out. He's got it all planned. No door is going to be closed to any one of you. Young women and young men, doors will not be closed. And young women, know this. There is no glass ceiling over you. This thought that we're all equal in Christ. God has such great things He wants you to do. Some of you are going to speak great and incredible things. Avery, you have an ability to speak and articulate. You have an ability to walk into a room. Stand up for a moment. Kelsey, could you come over here?
Which Kelsey?
I'm sorry. Well, Mom, you can come too. Come on, Kelsey. You get to help. Yeah. Come out here a second, Avery. You have an ability to walk into a room and change the atmosphere. You do. And that can be a positive. It can also go a little wonky at times, but you're learning how to use that. God wants to use you, young lady, to change the atmosphere wherever you put your foot. Do you understand that? God wants to use you. Before time began, He knew that you would be standing here at such a time as this, and He had this for you. Learn. Listen to godly counsel. Read the Word. Talk to Jesus. He speaks to your heart, and you know it, right? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for an increase in every's ability to hear you in your heart. We say yes to more in her life, God. I pray that you'd give Mom and Dad the courage to continue to make a place and a space and help her work through all this and figure all this out, God. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. We just say yes to your plans, Father. Amen. 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 Thank you. The third and last thing I want to say is He wants to work miracles and wonders among you. Signs and wonders, I believe, will be the constant crown of faithful preaching. And what I mean by preaching is just you going out into your sphere of influence and just talking to people. I believe that you're going to lay hands on the sick. I believe that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover because you're going to be operating in the power and the authority of Jesus Himself. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that God's going to give you alerts of the schemes and the plans of the enemy. It may come through dreams. It may come through a vision. It may come in the night. God speaks to your heart and wakes you up. I would encourage you to write those down. You know, what this world needs more than anything is to be transformed by the kingdom of God and by the supernatural young men and women of this prophetic generation. You know, Leonard Ravenhill has this quote. He says, "One of these days, some simple soul will pick up the book of God and read it and believe it. then the rest of us will be embarrassed. Let's stand. Young people, would you stand, please? The rest of you can sit for just a moment, but young people, I want every young person in this room to stand. Every young person. Every young person. I would like the elders to come forward. I want the other leaders to come forward too. Come on up. You know who you are. Come on up. You know, sometimes people ask me, well, you don't know, Pastor, you're not living my life, and I'm not. But some of you, what you don't know is that 16 years old, I was living on my own. I lived in my car for almost a year. I worked my way through high school, literally. And you know what? I found Jesus, and he found me. And he radically altered my life. He gave me a hope, he gave me a purpose, and I know that he gave me a future. I'm standing here today because I heard that voice. He protected me, he saved me, and he had a plan and a purpose for my life. Every one of you, God has a plan and purpose for your life. And it's not just to hang out. It's for something really, really great. Amen? Are you guys in? We're going to pray for you, okay? Guys, I just encourage you to step forward at, you know, comfort zone, whatever that looks like for them. And I just want to pray for you guys. Yeah, there's more of you. Here they come. Here they come. And ministry team that's up here right now, leaders, if God's given you a word for them, I encourage you to speak that into their life. Amen? Amen. Wow. Wow. Father, we just say come. Father, we know you're here, but Father, we ask that you would come in an incredible way in this moment, that you would begin to download into their young and tender hearts your plans, your purposes for their future. Father, I know that some of these young people right now are in this moment of, there's a lot of trauma, there's a lot of stuff going on, but Father, I pray that you would take that and give them incredible peace. That you would give them peace that would just surpass anything they could ever understand. And Father, I just pray that they would begin to hear your heartbeat, God. They would begin to hear your voice, God, above all the other voices. And Father, that voice would be so affirming. That voice would be speaking how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much you have planned for them. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. And I know some of you right now may be seeing things around you in your environment that you're, it's like, oh, it's so chaotic. Man, we speak peace to that now in Jesus' name. Total peace in Jesus' name. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. If any of you other leaders want to tag on to this, I got the mic here, so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Something I'll testify on behalf of.
Is it on hold?
Can't read it.
Just do a reset. Now turn it back on. There you go.
Hello. Hello. Something I'll testify on behalf of the older generation is something that we struggle with is we have been tainted by the world. And if you're 50 and older, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And something about the youth is they have not had that tainting. They are more of a clean slate. They are a fresh easel that can be painted in a beautiful way. And we have a lot of battle scars in our older generation. And for many fights that we fought, some we lost. But we've learned to fight. And now we're learning to fight for the youth, that they would be kept from the destruction that the enemy has brought upon some of us older ones. We're wounded. Many of us are wounded. And we will never excel to the level that the youth can excel to. And I just speak that a release over our youth, that they would be protected from the evil one. Jesus himself said, pray this way, deliver us from evil and protect them from the evil one. And I believe that is our commission right here, right now, that these would be protected, that they'd be kept in a place of strength. They'd be kept in a place of not becoming wounded warriors, stumbling through life, but they would live a victorious life, that they would be world changers, that they would envision things that are bigger than we could ever envision, that my generation could ever envision. They would envision things that would revolutionize society, revolutionize culture. They would be speaking to this culture and changing it for the better, that the world ahead is going to be better than it is now.
Yes.
I just speak that in the name of Jesus.
That's a great word, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Linda?
About a year ago at prayer meeting on Monday night, we were praying for the youth, and I got a picture of UPS trucks coming up the hill and coming and dropping off packages to the youth, and it was anointing and giftings for you guys, and I think the UPS trucks are on their way.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just was hearing from the Lord, and you know, and kind of along with that prayer, I like as a you know, like I when I was your age, you know, our country was a lot more like in alignment with my own personal values, and today it's not. And sometimes, you know, I think about like the next generation, and I worry, like, you know, what are you guys, you know, getting into? And the Lord just spoke to me like so loud and clear, like, you were born for this.
Oh. That's a good word.
You were born for this, so don't let anybody ever tell you differently, and don't be afraid, because God brought you into this world for such a time as this, to be a light in the darkness.
What a great word. You were born for such a time as this. That is incredibly awesome. Wow. Let's stand. The rest of you, please stand, and let's close this in agreement. Father, we just thank you for these young and tender hearts. We thank you for this amazing moment. Father, my heart is that they would fall in love completely with you. They would fall in love with the things that you love, God. And Father, I know that you love people. And I pray, God, that they would continue to put one foot in front of the other and follow you with all of their hearts, with all of their life, for the rest of their lives. Father, I do truly pray, God, that they would grab hold of the idea that you have set them apart for such a time as this. and that they would begin to hear your voice in the night, God, and they would begin to speak with courage and boldness the things that you are speaking, the things that need to be spoken to this generation today. And Father, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every one of them. Father, so big on their left and on the right and behind them, a wall so high that none of the enemy's darts could touch them. And Father, they truly would be sanctified and set apart in your presence, because Father, in your presence, everything is safe and everything changes. And we just thank you now, and we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a glorious day.